So, okay, so the model Max Blumenthal, Ben Wittenfraud is the so-called the pseudo-reporting on the White Helmets, the plagiarism of Vanessa Beally, but that was not just a plagiarism, they plagiarized and vitiated so that they transformed it into something else. So that the original reporting by Vanessa Beally is reporting several things. One, that there was no genocidal bombing, that this the main story of the US propaganda about Syria, which was that the government of Syria was bombing its own citizens massively and genocidally and just indiscriminately and illegally, is false. That's one thing. The second thing, that the White Helmets, who are the who did a propaganda campaign to convince people that this bombing was real, were fake, were you know take doing fake videos, stage videos in shelled landscapes, that is the places that the rebels, the not the rebels, that the so-called rebels, the death squads and the proxy forces that the US was backing with the help of its clients, that the cities that these proxy forces fighting the government, fighting each other, had destroyed, had reduced to rubble, were used as stage sets for these fake rescue videos that are ludicrous, in order to purvey the impression of a genocidal bombing by the state, which didn't happen, by the state and Russia, which didn't happen, wasn't happening. To give the impression of massive war crimes, and to give the impression that the death squads were actually these nice, rebels who were also supporting these rescuers in their white helmets. And what Vanessa Beally showed was these guys were executioners. They were just the propaganda arm of Al Qaeda and the other affiliated proxies that were set to fight each other on purpose, because this is how the US was going to destroy the country, level it, flatten it, salt the earth without the shock and awe, massive shock and awe bombing that they'd done in Iraq, which for various reasons they couldn't do in Syria. One of the main reason being Russia said no. Russia, it wasn't going to stand aside, and very probably China also said that it wasn't, wouldn't tolerate that. We don't know that, but the kind of devastation that the U.S. wreaked on Iraq with its own air force and its own troops required the consent of the rest of the Security Council and nuclear powers, the military powers of the earth. So they didn't have that for Syria. So they were running this proxy war, and the massive destruction, they wanted to completely destroy the infrastructure, just flatten this country and render it, as, and ruin it, destroy it forever so they could break it up like they did with Iraq. It was going to be accomplished with these lots of proxy terrorist armies, paramilitaries heavily armed, to fight each other, to take and retake cities so they could complete shell them forever and ever and completely destroy them. They lost this effort. They didn't achieve what they were intending, but what they were intending, they partially achieved. They had a small, so far it's not over, but they have been checked by Syria itself mainly, and its military and the determination of its people and their allies, Russia, Hezbollah, and Iran. So Vanessa Beally exposed all this in her reporting on the White Helmets. The truth, by fo she focused on this one operation, this propaganda op that was that's massively funded and that was also, a terrorist paramilitary. They were assisting the terrorist paramilitaries and perpetrating this enormous fraud on the world, and she exposed that. And then Max Blumenthal plagiarized her to displace it with the opposite, the to restore the propaganda, to where she said the massive genocidal bombing was false. It was an illusion created by these videos. He said, no, it's really happening. Where the rescues were shown to be false, he said, no, the rescues are real. And, but he then was saying his is, he was posing as having done this expose of the white helmets. Because the official media, then the New York Times or whoever, attributed this to him. Whereas all he said was, all he did was a restoration of the propaganda with this tiny little caveat saying, oh, it's so scandalous. I discovered that these white helmet rescue teams that have rescued tens of thousands of people from a murderous, illegal bombing don't really, aren't really neutral about the people perpetrating this mass crime, this Nazi-level crime, which would not be scandalous to anyone. I mean, the American public doesn't feel neutral about such things either. So it's a very complex kind of lies. You know, the lies are constructed in this storytelling that where somehow, you know, partly because the audience is so swayable and so stupid, it gets to displace the real reporting, the real expose, with its opposite, and yet get all the credit. And of course, the way they do this is the Zizekian and Molly Crabapple-esque method of saying, of staging attacks on themselves, you know, like Max Blumenthal, Norton, Kahlik, etc. They have their allies, their colleagues that they're constantly bantering with, that they set up that they attack them, so that that's how they gather their illusion of credibility and their illusion that they're being daring and controversial or actually, you know, anti-war, is that they get people like Charles Lister, Oz Chatterjee, these extreme right-wing, you know, psychopaths to attack them as if they were the real reporters. And so that establishes their credibility. And this is like, you know, this is one of the oldest propaganda techniques. In fact, you know, these false, you know, false flag critics, you know, like that. That you know, this was done in the Middle Ages, but it works on you know, screen damaged people. It looks, you know, who are reading the world and reading the news and their reality as if it were a fiction that their job is to interpret. So, you know, and Max and Ben, I mean, they're almost funny in how much time they, and Ronnie Kahlik especially, they're, how much time they spend complaining of their victimization on social media. They're supposed to be war reporters. I mean, they're supposedly talking about things that have taken the lives. I mean, they hunt, you know, people beheaded, countries destroyed, tragedies that are almost, you know, it's almost impossible to keep these things in your head, you know, or you become suicidal. And what their takeaway is that they are the true victims, you know, they, because people, their colleagues, their partners in this Punch and Judy show are victimizing them, criticizing them on Twitter. They get mean tweets from these people that they chat with constantly and go to conference with and hang out with. I mean, there's pictures of Ronnie Kahlik chummily chatting at some event with Charles Lister. And then, you know, she's crying on Twitter about how he's victimized her because she speaks the truth. But that's the way they avoid engaging with their actual utterances. You know, they don't allow any critic to challenge them on what they're saying. They divert into these, you know, kind of empty insults that they fling back and forth with their collaborators from the technically the other side, their Jerry Springer performances that they do. You know, Max Blumenthal, no, it was Ben Norton was on, you know, a YouTube thing with Aaron Mate, who's just awful also. He's their collaborator. And I'm going to go through this YouTube about Syria, you know, the show they did since the U.S. so-called withdrawal, where, so on this YouTube, they say, they've taken account that it's starting to be embarrassing that they're that they spend most of their time portraying themselves as the principal victims of the U.S.'s policy, murderous policy. So they did a disavowal and then immediately went right into the victimization complaint. Woe is me. Again, like Aaron Maté says, well, we don't want to talk about this too much because we don't want it to seem like the journalists are the victims. And then Ben Norton says, no, the real victims are the Syrian people who've been slaughtered. But, and then for the next 5 minutes, they talk about how Max Blumenthal and Ben Norton and Rania Kolik are the victims of who knows, you know, they're portraying themselves as the victims of the propagandists of the State Department, who were, you know, Max Blumenthal's father invented this story of Gaddafi handing out Viagra to black soldiers. I mean, this is a raced story. And the result of this is, you know, people being sold into slavery, like literal slavery, literal slave markets tied up in Libya, you know, this massive population, the whole society for generations and generations now, you know, in the future are going to be harmed by this. In all likelihood, this is not going to be reversed. And they portray themselves, they who are the beneficiaries of the financial beneficiaries of these policies, portray themselves as the real victims of this operation of, you know, State Department propaganda. I mean, they're some of the, you know, chief beneficiaries, you know, up there, you know, really benefiting. So, but they disavow it. They acknowledge that, oh, we're going to do something really unseemly now. And then they do it anyway. And that is the kind of new condition that allows that there's sort of routine hypocrisy and their routine contradiction, self-contradiction is no longer problematic for their audience. It can even be a merit. And in the same way, and I'm going to talk about this more specifically, but like in the same way, they you know, just a few weeks ago, Norton, Blumenthal, and Kolik did a Moderate Rebels broadcast where they denied that Israel was at war with Syria, which, you know, it has been since 1948. They denied that Israel was at war with Syria. They denied that Israel wanted to be at war with Syria. They said that Israel was in danger of being stumbling into war, being drawn into war by the evil of Iran and Syrians themselves. They denied that Israel was even occupying Syria. And they portrayed the U.S. as being just as having no involvement in Syria, just having some observer peacekeepers on the ground to, like, observe what was going on. And they said explicitly that the U.S. has no power in Syria, can't have any effect on the Syrian situation because Russia was the dominant power, and Rania Kolik said this is what makes Syria so dangerous, is the U.S. isn't in control of the situation, but Russia is too powerful. And then just a few weeks later, they're joining in the chorus of hysteria now that, you know, just simply by moving their troops a few miles, that their troops in Syria, that they've changed the whole situation. So suddenly, all the time they were denying that the U.S. had any proxies or any deals in Syria, that there were any air bases, that they certainly never acknowledged that the SDF were dependent, you know, were a proxy of the U.S. And then all of a sudden, you know, when this new headline happens, they completely reverse their position. They, as if they'd never said it only a few weeks ago, and yet this is completely acceptable to their audience. They don't have to be consistent at all. They're just they just constantly do a new propaganda story every day, and people feel entertained by it. And also, you know, of course, they want to contribute to this idea that, you know, it's a sporting event, and they're the sportscasters, and they're watching, and they're the color commentary, and everything's happening spontaneously and as they watch and stuff like that. And so they, the other thing they do is, like, you know, real people who are really concerned, you know, can get a lot of information from, you know, Nasrallah, who knows what he's talking about, the general secretary of Hezbollah, who's involved in this and speaks, you know, honestly, although sometimes with diplomatic care and delicacy, but, you know, had explained, you know, back in January, kind of what the situation was now that it was clear that Syria had won. And obviously there were negotiations going on for the last months, and what's unfolding now is the result of those negotiations and the result of some kind of truce deal, interim peace deal. It's a real journalist's job would be to, first of all, do reporting on this, like go and talk to people who know and try to actually find out what the real unseen negotiations were and what's planned for the future. And in contrast, Ben and Max's job is to, you know, totally misrepresent what's happening as some kind of quirky, you know, Trump personal thing and happening as, you know, minute by minute, reactive U.S. government, da 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 da. And they, of course, want to distract, also ignore the question of, ignore the question of ISIS, ignore an element of this while repeating, trying to restore the propaganda that has fallen apart, that everyone knows that ISIS is a U.S. proxy, and that saving the ISIS forces, which are very valuable and we created at great cost, is a U.S. priority. And that one of the things that's obviously happening here is, you know, the U.S. effort to save these forces, to not have them turned over to the Syrian government, and to not have them killed, and to demobilize them, put them back to Turkey, to redeploy them when they want, and to rescue, you know, to protect Idlib. These facts are obvious, almost obvious to everyone who's paying attention. So Ben Norton and Max Blumenthal's job is to erase that, to confuse, you know, young people who are ignorant, even though they want to know. So they're adjacent to people who do know and are figuring things out. They want to drive a wedge between those young people and slightly older people or slightly better informed young people who are paying attention to real things and who, like, speak Arabic and can hear, you know, can listen to different sources and watch different sources and read different sources, and or other languages, you know, the English is the worst really for finding things out. And then, you know, to replace, to give a false story about this by replacing the ruined, destroyed, threadbare propaganda that the U.S. is fighting ISIS. So Ben and Aaron, at the end of their show, get into this effort to replace that propaganda, and then also, almost gratuitously, to restore the propaganda about the so-called Syrian revolution and its original nonviolent, democratic, whatever, this total fiction that there was a revolution in Syria, you know, a popular revolution, popular democratic revolution against the authoritarian qualities of the Ba'athist regime, as they put it, you know, and then this is a complete fiction. And then, you know, that fiction fell apart. Ben Norton and Max Blumenthal and Rania Kalik were major, major propagandists advancing this in the mainstream media. And, you know, it became a little embarrassing when they had to start to undermine and disavow every bit of fact or every, you know, supposed fact they'd advanced to establish this fiction. And so they've actually pulled out all the foundations. They've had to pull out all the foundations of their fictions, but they're still trying, insisting that the fiction was reality. And that's one thing that Ben Norton and Aaron Mate do on their show. So those are the this restoration, this project of restoring the ruined propaganda is tacked on to this new propaganda about the current situation, about the U.S. movement, and what is obviously in reality the enacting of some kind of deal that was struck between Russia, Turkey, Iran, but, you know, with the U.S. as the main obstructive aggressor. And Kolick and Max Blumenthal and Ben Norton have to continue to restore this idea that the U.S. is fighting ISIS and that it's a reactive player and that it's just, you know, badly, as ham-handedly, bunglingly intervening in a war between these other countries.